The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Sunday marks the sixth month of the war in Gaza after the October 7th attack. And with the phone call between Netanyahu and Joe Biden yesterday, there is increasing tension as to what the next 6 months might look like, not least for relationships between the United States and Israel. We're joined now by Terry Sheridan, News Director with WSHU. Terry, good morning.
And good morning to you, Pat.
Now, I saw one headline, I think it was on CNN last night, saying that Biden chided Netanyahu. I thought it was a very, you know, harmless kind of word. What did go on between the two men?
Well, the two men had a phone call, a 30-minute phone call, which has been described by Kurz as terse. Anthony Blinken was on it, Vice President Kamala Harris was on it, and the U.S. National Security Advisor was on it, in which Biden basically said, in the wake of the killing of aid workers from World Central Kitchens, that there should be an immediate ceasefire, and for the first time said that, also said that Israel needs to protect civilians, care about human life and aid workers, but said that U.S. support for the war, both moral and financial support, depends on them bringing this to a quick close and having Israel being very careful about its you know, bombing and the civilian death toll.
The question of why this particular episode, 32,000 Palestinians have been killed in the conflict so far. A number of UNRWA workers have been killed. Other aid workers have been killed. What is it about the World Central Kitchen killings by Israel that has struck a chord?
Well, I guess it's for several reasons. First of all, World Central Kitchens, it's an organization by a celebrity chef, Jose Andres. The other thing in this is that it appears, and Jose Andres has, you know, publicly said, that these aid workers were specifically targeted in the three rocket attacks, you know, that killed them. It's also, from a political point of view for Joe Biden, he is coming under intense pressure from the left of his party and from many Americans across the board that something has to be done, that he just can't be writing a blank check to Israel, and that he should use the influence, to put it bluntly, of the United States to try to bring this to an end.
Now, the question of the pressures from the general public, be they Republican or Democrat, who are dismayed by some of the scenes they are witnessing on television, versus the very powerful Jewish lobby. I mean, that's the cleft stick in which Biden finds himself.
Very much so. I mean, while this was all happening, Republican lawmakers were in Israel meeting Netanyahu from AIPAC, a very powerful Jewish lobby here in the United States. So they're behind Netanyahu. So the problem for Joe Biden, or the challenge for Joe Biden, I should say, is in this presidential race, if you just put it down to pure blunt politics. In this presidential race, Trump right now has a razor-thin lead, but it's still within the margin of error. Nobody can afford to lose any votes, especially Joe Biden. So if younger voters, those more to the left of the party, sit it out, that could be what throws the election for Donald Trump. So I think that finally a political calculation has been made by the Biden administration that they need to at least seem to be getting tough on Israel.
Meanwhile, there are calls from within the Israeli cabinet that there might be an election, that there should be an election. And everyone is predicting, should that happen, that irrespective of how well many people in Israel perceive the campaign in Gaza to be going for the IDF, that Netanyahu, one way or the other, will be gone.
Well, again, I'm not an expert on Israeli politics, but what I'm seeing is, you know, there are several issues. One is there's a large segment of the Israeli population that really is aghast at what's going on in Gaza. Also, there's a bubbling, a controversy bubbling under, which is the exemption of the ultra-Orthodox in Israel from joining the IDF, or from being drafted into the IDF more accurately. And that is causing a lot of resentment and tension.
How would you characterize the attitude generally to Israel in the United States? I mean, the United States is the most stalwart ally of Israel. And although there have been voices articulated loudly in criticism of what's going on in Gaza, would you say that support for Israel is still pretty much rock solid across the population?
That's a difficult question. I would say on a general basis, yes, support for Israel or support for the, let me say this more accurately, support for the state of Israel to exist is pretty rock solid. However, I think we are seeing a whittling away of support for Israeli in this war, in this situation. You're not hearing much from the general public about, you know, Israel needs to fight for its right to exist. But there's a lot of unhappiness over the way that the war is being conducted.
I wonder if the removal of Netanyahu would allow maybe some sort of negotiations on the ceasefire to progress more rapidly, because at the moment those talks, in spite of all the efforts of the United States, keep stalling.
Well, again, not being an expert in Israeli Middle East politics, but yes, I mean, Senator Chuck Schumer, you know, has specifically said that Netanyahu is an obstacle to peace. Back in the United States, there's always been a tension between Netanyahu and Democratic presidents, no matter who they are, over what he perceives as their lack of support for him personally and for Israel.
Now, I wanted to ask you about one other matter, Terry, and that is the Truth Social platform of Donald Trump, which, of course, went public, and the shares, having started well, improved, I think, on day two, and then after that they started to tumble. But there are all sorts of potential scandals surrounding this, with insider trading alleged and much more.
Absolutely. Insider trading, you know, alleged. You know, how did that price get up that high? You know, and now that it's going down, are people who's selling it? Whatever. We know that Donald Trump by law cannot settle it. But again, he is, he has 60% of the stock in it, you know, and Truth Social, no one is really using it. It's a very small platform. But no, the federal regulators are looking at it specifically because, one, the price, what's Donald Trump doing with it, you know, and, you know, how is he cashing out? Even though he cannot legally, is someone else cashing out for him?
All right. And then there's a congressional committee of Democrats are looking for an investigation into where some of the money came from for Trump, and whether or not there's a connection with an account in the Caymans, which has been used to launder drug money. I mean, you couldn't make it up.
No, you couldn't. I mean, on the other hand, this has all the aspects of a Donald Trump business opportunity with his fingerprints on it that we've seen before.
All right, Terry Sheridan, news editor with WSHU Public Radio. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.